few years, you may not have to drive all the way to Atlanta to visit a state-of-the-art theme park. Today, the Dream Vision Company announced plans for a theme park in Northwest Alabama. WIAT 42 News reporter Al Ratcliffe gives us a peek at those plans for what's being called Soundscape.
Where I am right now is just outside of one of the possible locations for the new theme park planned in the Shoals area. Now, just a few hours ago, the group behind the project made their pitch to the local community. It started with a new song and ended with a marching band, but in between were the details. The Dream Vision Company is planning a $3.5 billion theme park, and they're planning to open sometime in 2019. Some may question why here. The answer goes back to how the event started.
I mean, this is where history of every genre of music I have ever imagined emanated from at levels that literally affected the entire industry. So why should it not be?
Just a couple of days ago, Dream Vision announced another park that is set to open in the year 2020 in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Coming up tonight at 6, we'll hear from some who say there could be issues before the first guest goes in.
Welcome, dreamers of all ages, to another episode of Unbuilt, an unrealized theme park podcast. With me today, as always, is my co-host Ryan Dorman, who has recently returned from Orlando. Yeah. How was that? I mean, we don't want to spend too much time talking about it, but I saw you tweeted some, let's say, controversial hot takes as usual on the Twitter.
Did I? What did I tweet that was controversial?
I guess criticizing Cosmic Rewind a little bit.
Oh, sure. I think that I can say the good when I was there was that the Velocicoaster I went on is awesome. Mm-hmm. I can't believe I even went on it. As everyone who listens to this show knows, Ryan is the coaster freak and I'm the little baby who doesn't do coasters. But I just walked up. It was awesome. It was super exciting. So smooth.
Like, it is
crazy. Barely feels like you're even on a roller coaster. Yeah.
And you got lucky to ride it too, because it was down for a little bit. So
yeah, it was down for a lot of the day when I was there, but I went to that Orlando Informer thing, which is a whole can of worms. I have no clue how they make money on that, to be completely honest with you. Like, I don't understand how the financing. I'll tell you this. The longest line was 50 minutes for Hagrid's, but everything else was dead empty. Like, I didn't wait for Velocicoaster. I didn't wait for any of the Harry Potters. I didn't wait for a single ride.
And it's both parks. That's
both parks.
Insane.
That's both correct. Parks. And all the food is free. So
how
like
much
every,
is it?
It was like 100. It was like, I think it was a couple hundred, like 200 a person, maybe something like that, somewhere around there.
That's almost worth it.
No, it is, because if you get like the food isn't just like Disney where they give the popcorn and the ice cream. It's like stuff from the restaurants. Like, you just get the meals from the restaurants and the Mardi Gras stuff.
How many hours?
It was, you get in at 5. The park closes for normal guests at 7. And I think the high thrill attractions, like the roller coasters, close at midnight, but everything else closes at 1. So it's like 5 hours. I did everything. I mean, like, there were some things I didn't do just because I didn't want to do Jimmy Fallon. Oh, I forgot to tweet that Minion ride stinks. I had to pee so bad in line, and I was sitting there, and the conveyor belt's moving so slow, and I'm like, come on, get me out of here. Like, I was so... So I got in. The line was... it was right before park closing. So the line to get on the actual ride was like 5 minutes, but it was one of those, like, it just springs on you, like at the front of the line, and you're like, oh my God. And I'm sitting there on the conveyor belt and like shooting at these things, and my legs are like tightened together. I'm like, I need this thing to go fast. I need to get off.
You just like walk through everybody, just, you know, out of my way.
In front of all of the in the queue, every like couple of steps, it's like, this is your last chance to leave. You cannot leave if you get on the conveyor belt. But no, the Velocicoaster was awesome, and that was the good, I guess. And then I'm trying to remember what else I did that was also good. Yeah, I saw. I went to Epcot. I mean, I went to Animal Kingdom, and that was great, but nothing new there. Mm-hmm. Just really quickly, like you're talking about these hot takes, quote unquote, because I don't think they're hot takes. Cosmic Rewind is an incredible ride system. Like, I just want to make that really clear. I think that the ride system is so smart because it takes something tight like Space Mountain and uses the rotation of the vehicle to the benefit, so you don't actually have to increase the thrill per se, you just increase the experience, and I think that's great for Epcot. I should have said the Moana walkthrough is like really, really beautiful.
Yeah, I saw you tweeted that. Yeah, that,
yeah, it's it fits really well.
We missed it by mere days, and I feel,
I mean, at the end of the day, like, it's more cute than anything. It's a nice side little thing, so it's not, I guess it's really not that big of a deal, but it's a really sweet, nice little addition. I think it's actually much better than I anticipated. But with Cosmic Rewind, I wanted to, so I lightning laned it twice because I got a lightning lane for me and my father, but he didn't want to go on because he was like, this makes me sick. I regret I shouldn't have went on, because I know a lot of people just can't handle the motion sickness, and it is a little brutal. It's not as bad as I think people say it is. But it can be bad if you do it more than once.
I was expecting more nausea, but what struck me was it's more about the intensity.
G-force. It's like, it's
very
strong.
Intense. It's probably the most intense. And I know people are going to say, well, Rock and Roller Coaster has more G's. And I'm like, yeah, but those are more of like a fraction of a section. Whereas this ride has the most like sustained positive G's.
And you feel it.
Yeah, and in Rock and Roller Coaster, those are more negative G's. These are very heavily sustained positive G's. I was shocked by
I was shocked too. Like, I was, I did front row once, and I think it was a little, I don't know if it was like really a little tighter, but like the second time I went on, I was, you kind of get pulled to the side, and you're like, whoa, this is killer. Like, this is actually stronger than I thought. You know, I think the having done it twice though, and I skipped the main queue, so the lightning lane takes you right to the first pre-show. Holy shit, that attraction's pre-show is bad. It is so
Which pre-show are we talking about?
Both of them.
Both of them
so awful. It's the Terry Crews is the only actor who it's clear that they didn't give a shit writing Terry Crews, because he just plays Terry Crews. Like, there's, he's not really acting, he's just Terry Crews, but he's like the only person who actually showed up to perform. I cannot even, like, whoever was the on-set director for the Guardians of the Galaxy part should be
James Gunn.
He should be launched into the sun. Like, I think it was just so messy, and it's really long. The worst part about it is that I know I'm going through this on speedrun, but it's a really long pre-show and then another really long pre-show, and then they compact you into a tight hallway for even more waiting. And like,
yeah, I would have to say that it's fun to do it once. I only did it once. And did you also only do it once?
I did it twice.
You did it twice. Okay. We only got a chance to do it once, and that's because, as I'm sure you're aware, you got a lightning lane. We just did the boarding groups, and we had to move on with our day after we did it.
Yeah.
And so we only got the chance to do it once. And let's not, never mind the fact that it's nearly been open for 2 years and it's still doing boarding groups, which makes zero sense.
2 years already? Holy shit.
I know. And the ride pre-show is cute for the first part. I do like the transportation stuff. Teleportation
stuff.
It is
really cute. I think the problem is that everyone, it's so sad actually that, so they do the, some guy behind me was leaning to his friend. He's like, they've been doing like this rocket the walls up stuff since like PhilharMagic. And I was like, thanks, man. I appreciate it. Like, it hasn't happened yet. I don't know what's going on, because I didn't even know it was going to happen. But then immediately when the wall, well, if you're listening to this and haven't been on it, I guess I just did the same thing. But immediately when the walls come up, everyone ran to the door.
Of course. Yeah, that's what happens now.
Yeah. And it's so, the first pre-show I think is better than the second one, at least. Like, I think that, what is it? Is it Glenn Close? Is that who it is?
The first one. Okay, so there's the best one is probably when you're in front of those doors, and then the Epcot lady voice has you come in, and then you go in, and then there's a parallax screen above you, and that's where Glenn Close comes in, and then you go into the teleportation room, and that happens. Like, this kind of if you keep repeating, it's almost kind of a cumbersome three-step process. Kind of almost reminds you of Back to the Future and Simpsons Ride and yeah. how many pre-shows you have to sit through and keep going
so
through them.
Many.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so many, and it's they're not good. They're not like the first one. Epcotian's bit isn't funny, but whatever.
What does everybody call themselves here? And you know, everybody has to shout something.
Drunk.
Out.
They're drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, the first time I went on, no one said anything, which was so nice. But the second time, they wouldn't shut up. I was like, oh my god. But I think that no, the first one is fine. It's not great. It's fine. The second one is brutal. And the story is bad. It's just a terrible story that like, oh, a celestial appears.
Yeah, who cares?
It's like, I don't know.
Who cares?
Insofar that it's an attraction, like, to me, I think that the best comparison for the entire thing is Rock and Roller Coaster. It's like a black box coaster with very limited story, and it flies by so fast. The difference is that Rock and Roller Coaster shuts up during the ride. I went on it twice, and only by the second time I had any clue what was happening, like on the ride, because it has that Imagineering syndrome nowadays where someone has to be talking in your ear the whole time and telling
you. Look,
it's
the Milky Way. I hate milk.
It's the same shit as Incredicoaster.
Yes, exactly. Like, I was going to say it is a line shouted out at you ride, a la the Incredicoaster. I do like at the end some of the lines. I can't believe that they do actually say every person comes out tired on the break run sometimes.
I think that they at the end of it at the end of, generally at the end of the day. Having been on Velocicoaster, which I feel like is a poorly themed but excellent coaster, I think that you can go too far trying to overly story, you know, tell a story. Typically, I think you should just motivate the coaster and then let the people go.
Yeah.
And then now, maybe something at the end. But
before we end this, what were your songs?
Oh, it was something about fire. One of them was fire.
Okay. The list is September.
No.
You didn't get September. Was it Conga?
Nope.
There's Iran. Also,
it was One Way or Another and Disco Inferno. That's what it was.
Disco Inferno. Okay. One Way or Another. That's one that we got, and that's the one we got. So you got Disco Inferno, which people claim is probably the weakest one. I think people claim Disco Inferno is probably the weakest.
It's just silly. That song is like in Tide commercials. I think that the one I really wish I got was the Tears for Fears. That just sounds like a really really contrast with the
it's
style
so
of the
strange.
Ride. Yeah, yeah, it sounds really cool.
Mm-hmm.
It would fit the movie. The movie definitely. The movies used those 80s songs that didn't exactly fit the style of the action to make it different, and that would be cool. So.
Yeah, definitely. All right, before
Luminous Blows, by the way.
Oh, you know, I still haven't seen a video of it. I still haven't watched it, and I think I like it that way because that way I remain considerably impartial. If you had come to me and said Luminous was amazing, I would have been like, that's nice. And when you say Luminous Blows, I'm like, that's nice. So
I don't want to spoil it, but I wish I could talk about one part of the show that made me my jaw literally hit the ground.
Okay, go ahead. Let's go ahead.
So the show is about the narration is like about the cycle of life. Like we all come into this world together, and then it plays a Disney song.
Yeah.
And it's so odd because there's this one part and I felt like I was like, what the fuck is happening? Like, why? I'm at a theme park with children next to me. The woman's like, and sometimes the song leaves our hearts and we have to die and it has to happen. And we feel like we're so alone. And then it immediately goes into a mix of the When Somebody Loved Me and Recuerdame. And I was like, what the
I heard about this.
I did hear about this. No, it was like such an aggressive human emotion into a mashup of two overplayed but really good Disney songs. I was like, first off, tonal whiplash. Second off, I'm at Epcot. Like, I'm kind of ready to go to bed.
Well,
it's a bit of
a
downer.
Good to hear. Good to hear that they are making children cry still at Epcot. Was it better than Harmonious?
Okay, I feel very conflicted because I think the general DNA of the show is the same. It's just that instead of being about different countries and music, this is about the life cycle and Disney music. So it's the same show, basically. But this one didn't have the screens. And like the screens are really ugly in the middle of the day. The problem is I pulled up to Epcot in the middle of the day and the barge was still there for Luminous.
Amazing.
So it's like, I don't actually know if there's really much of a difference. I would say that it's not as bad as Harmonious because the pyro is better. But besides that, it's the same, basically. Like, I wouldn't say it is a meaningfully better. So.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, with that said, maybe we should move from parks that existed and, you know, their bankers and investors actually came through to something that just didn't happen whatsoever in our main topic.
Imagine a place where music from around the world fills the air day and night, where a musical palette of countless colors surrounds you like a warm blanket on a cold winter's eve, and rekindles your spirit from a forgotten moment in time. Music, the sounds that make you sing, dance, laugh, or cry, sweeping like the wind through our hearts like no other art form possibly can. Music, the soundtrack of our lives. Now, that very soundtrack comes to life at an epic global theme park resort destination, the music capital of the world. A place where music comes to life in ways you could never imagine, filling the heart and soul with every note. This is Dream Vision Soundscape, Theme Park Resort, Muscle Shoals, Alabama.
All right, here we are for our main topic. Today we're going to be doing something a little different than usual, in that the topic is an unbuilt park, but not everybody wanted it built or had any intention on having it built. You may have remembered this in the news if you were in the theme park sphere about 9 years ago. This popped up and a lot of people made fun of it and said it would never happen. And a lot of people were right. This is a large part of why people are so skeptical of any new park that isn't Disney and Universal. Now, new parks in the United States, after the regional market boom of the 60s, 70s happened, and that mostly was because of Disneyland. Because of Disneyland, Disneyland opens, and C.V. Wood in particular gets fired from Disneyland because he is also a huckster. But he's a huckster that comes through. He's a huckster that comes through. He goes around and tries to bring up parks all over the place. And this kind of helps inspire others who look at Walt Disney's dreams and they go and decide to bring a little bit of Disneyland to their own place. And this is where companies such as Six Flags and Cedar Fair and all them, they come about. And a lot of these small regional parks, they then get bought by bigger companies. And we have the landscape that we have now. Now, in the 90s, this kind of started turning around as some of those smaller regional parks start closing and stuff like that. And nobody really tries building a theme park nowadays because it's a gigantic financial investment. And not even Disney can really get it done. And Disney's America, for instance, we do have the rise of the NIMBYs. And the rise of the NIMBYs, you know, makes theme parks very hard to build from whole cloth. We do have, however, some rare examples. There's OWA. You might not know what OWA is, but it has a new name now, but it was like the park at OWA. It's this park in Alabama, and it's a very small theme park. It's like this theme park that's literally like a line, and it featured all these little small rides from Zamperla and a really terrible roller coaster. And they renamed it something like something Tropic something, which I forget at the moment. That opened about 6 or so years ago. We have Legoland New York, which also had this fierce competition from the NIMBYs that they fought against and got through. But there are also a lot of parks that were proposed and didn't get built. And we're going to be covering that over our last year of Unbuilt. But a lot of people, once again, when they see a park is going to be built and it never does, they often point to this, and this is dream vision. What the heck is dream vision? So in the show notes, I have a picture of a man speaking at a podium. He has a beard, and he's speaking very confidently. And this is Brian Robinson, and he is a con man. There's no other way to put it. He is a con man. And just if you're thinking about, does this stuff happen nowadays? It does. And it's so funny that we are recording this today, because we'll get into it later on. But this kind of thing is literally happening now. But it's happening with help of something else. And it's very strange, because this is almost like 9 years ahead of the curve. Okay, so Brian Robinson, hailing from Killen, Alabama, enjoyed over a short period in the 2010s the chance to embezzle funds from numerous investors with his definitely real corporation, Provident Global Capital. First, he sold securities to investors for numerous real estate properties, but never actually purchased the properties. Second, he fleeced investors out of $250,000, promising him that he would pay him back in 8 days.
Damn.
He just like, okay, well, I'll give you the promissory note, and just ran. In addition to that, he promised to provide assets to help create a Christmas musical production in Sevierville, Tennessee, and instead withheld after receiving the funds. And then that Christmas musical production then promptly turned around and sued him back. However, all that pales in comparison to the $7 million he stole from investors in a Ponzi-like scheme called Dream Vision that included a city and two theme parks, one in Fort Worth, Texas, and another in Muscle Shoals, Alabama. In 2014, Ron Logan, who passed away recently, moved on from a 24-year career at Disney Parks, producing all the live entertainment scene. That includes Fantasmic, Indiana Jones, all the productions, crazy productions at Disney Sea. An amazing career from this guy. In addition to helping jumpstart Disney on Broadway, he was given the chance to help shape two massive theme parks. And I mean, who wouldn't want that? Rick Silanskis also wanted to build his own massive Disney-esque theme park. And both Rick and Ron were charmed heavily by Brian Robinson, who promised them the money to make all their crazy, wild dreams come true. Nothing was off limits, and all blue sky pitches were immediately approved. The cost of both parks were in the billions. Rick dreamed of a music-based theme park, and Ron suggested an animated component with a division that would produce films to market the park that combined traditional elements with CG to make unlike anything else on the market at the time. Ron Logan insisted he met with numerous creatives in the industry, and even with Alan Menken, who was interested in composing material for the park. So the dude had the guy who made the music for Beauty and the Beast interested in composing music for this thing. Alan even met with Brian Robinson, and according to Ron Logan, believed he was a real good guy with good guy intentions.
However, that's what all good guys have is good guy intentions. If you meet someone who says, hey, that guy's a good guy with good guy intentions, you should run as fast as you can away from that person.
Right. However, it's hard to believe almost all of this. So let's go back to 2015. Hard Rock Park had come and fizzled in Myrtle Beach a mere 6 years prior, which was also heavily based off of music and was in a similar area of the country. Dorman, I'm not sure. Are you familiar with Hard Rock Park whatsoever?
Vaguely. Oh, isn't yeah, I've heard of the. Wasn't there like a dark ride there? Or am I crazy?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I've heard a little bit about this. Yeah.
Knights in White Satin. The
trip. That's it. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which you can virtually ride. Go on YouTube, search it up. It was from the Sally Corporation. It was a very unique dark ride that took the music of Knights of White Satin and turn it into a psychedelic dark ride where you wore glasses to make it feel like you were tripping on drugs. And this was in a theme park. It also had a very unique roller coaster, which was a B&M sit-down coaster. I believe it was Led Zeppelin, The Ride. And it featured, and I can't remember which Zeppelin song it was, but the song, the music rights that they got, had to have the song be listened to by guests fully. But the coaster was too short to have the full song played. So before you wrote it, you stood in a pre-show and listened to the first half of the song, boarded the coaster, and then you listened to the second half of the song. It was a very strange theme park, and it lasted 1 year because guess when it opened? 2008. Not the greatest time for such a park to open. So the second thing was that Dream Vision wasn't a recognizable brand at all. They just made it up on a whole cloth and thought that the brand would come first and they would bother with getting people to the theme park after. Third, while they intended on building Dreamscape Mountain in Muscle Shoals and Fort Worth, neither had any location scouted yet. They have no idea where in the areas they were going to actually build it. This all came into a head in February of 2015, where a splashy presentation was held at a Muscle Shoals hotel with Robinson and Solanskis in attendance to introduce the project. And they said that 1,400 acres would be bought and allotted to just the Muscle Shoals property alone. The public then saw one of the 12-minute presentations while non-savvy folks were charmed by the people in attendance. And, you know, they were excited. Everybody else, including theme park fans, raised a heavy eyebrow. Now, I showed you these videos. I sent it to you. I wanted you to watch it. What was your first impression of them?
Whoever they pulled out of daycare to edit it, like whatever, you know, intern or like CEO's nephew did this, did a great job. I've never seen iMovie used to such a glamorous extent.
It is astounding. Like, you just kind of like go, okay, you're putting all the pieces together and you're like, okay, wait. So Ron Logan does an interview with Attractions Magazine insisting I was into this. I wanted to do this. We were talking about creative people in the industry. They're all coming together to do this. So why isn't this presentation polished? Like, where did they skip the beat? Like, is it just because is this where the money fizzled out? Like, what was happening here? The video is filled with stock images, out of place background music, which is ironic considering the entire park is about carefully placed music, cheesy narration, and a lazy, amateurish looking concept art. It looks like AI art, but AI art wasn't a thing back then. It is bizarre. It looks like it was made with color pencils. I don't know. It's so strange. The ideas, yeah.
Well, I don't. Sorry, not to cut you off, but I want to say that like part of the reason people should listen very, very closely. This is like an incredibly unique discussion here because this is essentially like what if Disney fan theme parks were given a shit ton of money.
Well,
like,
no,
here's how not to pitch your idea. Because they just have ideas.
This is all negative. No IP. There's no IP. There's no IP in any of this. This is a five-year-old's theme park. Come to life.
And then there's this, and then there's that, and then mm-hmm. they do that. It's so unrealistic. Yeah.
It is bizarre because there's like, but you said, it, and I would believe it if maybe this was a scam where Brian Robinson got like a few people who are barely in the industry to put this together, but that wasn't it. Like, they said they had real people in the industry and this is what they came up with. Like, it boggles my mind. Like, the ideas are so first draft and just downright strange. So let's get into this video. Okay. So here and there, I'm going to be peppering in sound clips of the video, but you can view it online. They're still online. Just look up Dream Vision presentation, either Fort Worth or Muscle Shoals, and they'll come up. They're saved for eternity. online, thank God. At the start, the video hypes up the history of Muscle Shoals and its famous recording studio and why it's the perfect place to host a music-themed resort. Truly the most exciting musical adventure of a lifetime, the narrator espouses, and good Lord, these narrators. The first point is Music Central Station, the entryway. Guests could take a train, riverboat, or leisurely walk on Musical Bridge. Ugh. To begin their adventure. And again, this is where we get our first taste of this concept art that looks so bad.
Musical Bridge is the one that as you walked on, it would play music, right?
Yeah, yeah, we're going to get to that.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Next, they enter Soundscape Way, the main thoroughfare leading to Soundscape Village. This is so creative. There will be gift shops, restaurants, and entertainment venues showcasing an expansive variety of live entertainment and shows. We still haven't entered the park, by the way. Still haven't entered it. And you would enter the park under the Great Soundscape Band Organ. The Great Soundscape Band Organ? Whatever the fuck this thing is.
See, if you look at the concept art in the video, it's like, in a way, it's a cool piece of concept art. But then you have to like imagine what it would look like in real life. And you're like, I have no fucking clue what this is. It's like the only way this could have been built is if the instruments came alive and started playing themselves. Like,
doesn't look like this, just a chaotic, you know, jumble of instruments. Yeah, it looks like a horrible nightmare. But again, I mean, I don't want to be a dick. Okay, I really don't.
Why?
But it does, again, it looks like it was drawn by a third grader.
It looks very cheap. Yeah. Very quick.
Yeah, I mean, the proportions are strange. It's all like done so quickly and rushed. It looks like it was done last minute. I mean, if again, this would be like if somebody were trying to emulate AR art today. It just is. I don't even know what to make of this. It's a chaotic nightmare, like you said, and oh God, it welcomes you with one of the greatest musical celebrations, so they say. So then you walk under it into a tunnel, and then you walk over the musical bridge, which has instruments embedded into the sides that come to life as an orchestra as you walk down it. And that's another third grader looking image with this like sort of London Bridge-esque thing where there's like, again, instruments embedded into the sides and like this horrible cacophony that would be going on as you transition from one piece of terrifying art where instruments are coming to life to another piece of terrifying art where instruments are coming to life.
But walking across the bridge is like being surrounded by an entire orchestra performing the overture as you begin your visit to Dream Vision Soundscape.
Like, part of the reason that should have clued people off that this was a complete Ponzi scheme bullshit is that this is the dumbest, stupidest idea that if you're blue skying and you're like 12 years old, you go, well, what if they had a bridge where you stepped on the instruments, they came alive and they started making music? And it's like, number one, that's going to sound like shit when 100 people are walking on it. Number two, how? And number three, it's just a normal bridge with instruments drawn over the front.
Okay, but the strange thing is, so they've done this gimmick two times in a row, okay, where there's giant instruments and they come to life. You would think that would be the last. No, it is not. They haven't. This well is being sucked so dry. You'll see. Americana Boulevard is the main street of the park. Even though the American flag is on display, talent from around the world will celebrate the international language of music. Because, of course, the narration tells us,
our tribute to the world and the world's tribute to us.
Thank you, world. Exactly. This is what the world has gathered for us is Dream Vision.
Bunch of junk. Yeah.
This all leads to Americana Circle, a circular performance space that will host the parades and fireworks shows. And you can see it right there. And of course, there's a giant recording equipment is stapled to one of the buildings because we can't, for the life of us, figure out what to put in this scene because we have, they just goes, it has to represent music somehow. All right. What about a bunch of recording equipment? It's on the walls. All right, cool. So I was talking about giant instruments earlier. Well, how about this? At the center is the park's castle, Soundscape Mountain.
In the center of Americana Circle stands Soundscape Mountain, a gigantic, musically themed sculptural work of art that magically comes to life with a fantastic musical celebration beyond your imagination.
What is this? What am I even looking at?
Like the tree of life, but ugliest sin.
It's a mountain made of a bunch of instruments. Again, we have that giant band organ. We have the musical bridge. Now we have more larger than life instruments. You'll never fucking guess what it does. That's right. It comes to life and plays what else? Music. There was also plans every day to have a live musical guest perched on top of the mountain playing along with it. Eat your heart out, Dick Dale.
Do you know how shit of an idea that is? Like, just for the sake of it, imagine if Magic Kingdom blared out Radio Disney all day, like full volume. Or sorry, Cinderella Castle. And you're in Tomorrowland, you're like, what is that? Like, why is there so and who's this like live musician? Are we thinking like, how loud is the trumpet going to be? Like, if you have some guy up there playing trumpet, I guess he's mic'd up.
You have three orchestral pieces that are like this. It's this like a collage of instruments coming to life three times in a row. Like, how shit is this going to sound?
No, it's going to sound awful. It's going to be like when you hear, if you ever hear like big orchestras translated to MIDI files, and it's just a bunch of piano notes stacked on top of each other.
Yeah.
It's going to be pure cacophony.
Right.
In a perfect world, you have like someone who orchestrates this thing, have it so that all of the pieces kind of come together. I don't think that would happen.
Probably not. I don't even think they fought that far.
How to get the money? That was the question.
Brian Robinson's like sitting and going, cool, perfect. Okay.
This was in Alabama, so it's not like they had to like deal with the most difficult crowd of investors.
Okay, so here's where it gets really, really wild. This is how audacious they were. In the base of the monument contains the new home of the Alabama Music Hall of Fame, which will be relocated and reimagined there.
As you enter the base of the mountain, you will experience the new home of the Alabama Music Hall of Fame, which will be relocated and reimagined as an exciting interactive experience that salutes the musical heritage of the state of Alabama and music from around the world.
Like, pay up to visit this institution. They went to the Alabama Music Hall of Fame, which I guess is a thing. They went to them and goes, hey guys, great deal. We're going to take this. Presumably an attraction you could just visit, maybe for free. I don't know. I didn't look into it. And take it and put it in the middle of a theme park. And they just told them that they were going to do this. I don't know. Maybe they did. Inside the mountain itself are two roller coasters, a high-speed one that features onboard audio that increases in tempo as the coaster goes faster, and a smaller-scale one for families. Okay, good. But, we're not done yet. Oh my gosh, I'm getting a headache just describing those. So, then there's, like, of course, a spoken hub design, and it goes into other lands. In Rockopolis... guests walk through a giant jukebox featuring magical fiber optic lighting embedded in the pavement. Ooh, gee, who did they steal that from? In a dark ride, guests board cars in a drive-in and watch a pre-show, and then the screen opens up and the cars move in and travel through time and space to places that were influenced by muscle shows such as Memphis, Detroit, San Francisco, and LA. This is the one idea that has like a germ of a good idea. I like the idea of you're in a drive-in, you board the cars, and then the screen opens up and you go through it. That is a decent idea. Too bad it's the follow through is going through places that were influenced by muscle shows. Okay, whatever. But it is, would you agree that there's the germ of a good idea in there?
Oh, sorry, I remembered the next. This is the one with soundscape on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, isn't this the part, correct me if I'm wrong, but I know Sci-Fi Dine-In is in one of the promotional videos. Is this the part?
Yes, it is. Yes, it absolutely is.
Where they use a photo of Sci-Fi Dine-In. And then on the concept art, which is, it's horrible. The concept art is this like crayon drawn of these cars entering the screen. And if it didn't look bad enough in word art,
it's they the put soundscape on it.
It's a cool little idea. It's obviously like, you know, Mickey and Minnie's does the same thing many years later. Yeah. But like you're saying, where the cars go is the least interesting part of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like once you get past this cool thing, you go to Muscle Shoals and it's like, okay.
Right. In Jazz Alley, guests wind through NYC styled streets. An upscale lounge is named Frank's Place after Sinatra. And
I love that part of the video.
A flat
the
ride.
Curtain door is opening to the picture of
a flat ride called Soundtrack as guests as musical notes riding on a turntable.
The thrilling Soundtrack high-speed ride experience allows guests to ride in vehicles shaped like musical notes, dancing on the surface of a turntable resembling a big black classic vinyl record. The DJ suddenly changes the speed of the ride. It's RPM from a slow 33 and a third to medium 45 and super fast 78. Perched upon the top of the stylus arm suspended over the track, the DJ ramps up the action as guests experience an out of control musical adventure.
This is so lazy. So they're on a turntable and it's basically, it's like a tilt-a-whirl, but you're on a record.
Oh, it's even worse.
There's a DJ hanging above you on above the needle drop.
Here's the thing. Here's the part of this that, like, I think you're saying it's a tilt-a-whirl. It's more than a tilt-a-whirl. Think about it. What other attraction has guests spinning in a circle while somebody sits in a little box playing the music?
Oh, are you talking about like alien swirling saucers? And
no, it's a Himalaya. It's just like a Himalaya.
I don't think it's a Himalaya. You're in a circle, like in a
principle. No, it isn't a Himalaya, right? Because all of these little needles are separate. However, I guarantee you that in practice, it would have been a Himalaya.
Pretty much it's a flat ride that the speed is controlled. Yes.
Yeah.
But you can do that on different flat rides. The Himalaya is the most popular of these kinds because it's the one that you see this done the most. But they do have these kind of things with other rides for sure. It's a Gravitron also as well, I believe. So I think this is kind of like a tilt-a-whirl with that Himalaya aspect. At least that's what it looks like. I mean, it's hard to tell because this, again, is drawn with like crayon. It's horrible looking. Nobody has, all the humans in this have no defined characteristics. It is just terrible. I'm sorry.
Problem is if you stop to say it's terrible every time, that episode will be 6 hours long. Because it's like, it's in principle, again, if you're like armchair imagineering, this is something.
Mm-hmm.
It's not interesting, but it's something. There's, you know, they drew it.
I just like, I'm so sorry, but like, what was going on behind the scenes here? Because, it's so easy to say this was a scam. It's so easy to say that. Like, that's the easiest way you can explain it. But then you have all these articles with all these genuinely real people in the industry saying they were excited. They were working on it. And were the fruits of their labor? What? I don't get it. Okay, let's move on. In Country Flats, guests can dine and watch the Wild Wild West Adventure Musical Cowboy Show. Oh, boy. And this is 100%. This is the point where it's like, you guys ran out of money. That's what happened here. There is a gospel themed neighborhood called The Meeting Place. It is literally themed to a church tent. It even has sawdust floors.
Welcome to The Meeting Place in the Gospel Way neighborhood, where the Renew Your Spirit show plays tribute to the soul-stirring spirituals and hymns of yesterday and today. From Bill Gaither to Aretha Franklin, housed in a white tent, the place is complete with sawdust floors, rough-hewn benches, and pass-the-plate down-home family-style offerings. This gospel spectacular is sure to excite and renew the soul and the stomach.
How insane is this?
Alabama.
Like, this is amazing. You are going to a theme park that accurately 100% like models a land after a fucking church tent, where you can just see a gospel show right down to the floors being sawdust.
This is the best idea that they have. This is the one time where they market to their audience.
Yeah, well, yes, but it's basically you're just setting up a church. That's it.
Emma.
Yeah, they're advertising this for a theme park.
Okay. In Alabama.
Yeah. This is where I have not been to Alabama. No.
I can tell.
Yeah, that's the thing. But what's astounding to me, though, is like you could do this anywhere in Alabama, but they have so
it's like California Adventure
little money that they are just going to put this in a theme park and call it a themed experience.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. So, yeah. All right. This is the craziest part of it. This is like, how did anybody think this was real? Besides, the park is a domed island resort with an attached water park promising spectacular effects. They promised the views on the beach would all be done via screens, Truman Show style.
And get ready for one of the most amazing tropical vacations in the world, where guests will embark upon a journey from Music Central Station on a magical train that crosses the ocean on a journey to Oceanica Resort and Island Water Adventure. This magnificent domed island experience will encompass spectacular effects, with guests wondering if they become lost on a beach in the South Pacific. With waves crashing against the sand, an ever-changing horizon brings to life day and night views of the waterscapes of spectacular destinations like Bali, Tahiti, and Fiji.
This is also my favorite part of this entire video. My favorite part is that up until this point, I was like, I can imagine how you could cheap out and do this theme park. Like, I can imagine. I know how this would all translate to a shitty theme park. I have no fucking idea how you do this. I don't even know how Disney does this. A domed water park?
Yeah. My guess is it's like a blow up tent, and then you like stick one of those flat sky things on the wall. Sure. Like, you know, it's just like a flat. Like, that's it. It's like, see, look, we did it. See, it's like looking out in the distance. That would be the solution.
That's awesome.
Okay, so that's the end of that video. But we do need to talk about Dreamscape Texas, because that had a shorter 6-minute long presentation, which was giving us so much mercy, but it's just as weird. This park would not be focused on music, but fantasy.
Welcome to Dream Vision Mountain, Dreamscape Texas. Rising from the heart of Texas, like a shining wonderland of hope, this magical, ever-changing, and ever-growing resort destination is the one place where people from all over the world will find their dreams come true.
The entryway was actually, no joke, called the Pathway of Hope. And I didn't even know what I'm looking at. This looks like an Epcot thing that was proposed in 2019 or something like that. I don't know what this is. Dream Vision Village, of course, has an array of shops, restaurants, and entertainment.
You're right about that, actually. Now I think about it, you're right. It does look like one of those, like, at least this concept art's better.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yes, the concept art for this, the Texas one, is five times better than...
They drew it, at least.
Yeah.
My crayons.
Yes. Of course, the village has the Dream Vision Performing Arts Center, a state-of-the-art concert hall. So, like, they're getting in the music stuff in there. And this is, like, all part of, like, you know, this resort plan. The centerpiece is Dream Vision Mountain, a wintry playground. But here's where it gets ridiculous. Somehow, they were promising real snow on the mountain, enough for bobsled rides, and get this, real skiing.
Towering ahead is Dream Vision Mountain, a veritable winter playground where snowflakes fill the sky and winter sports abound. As you gaze upon the snow-capped peaks and feel the winter's chill, you may take your very own bobsled down the mountainside or a ski lift for a thrilling downhill adventure.
Okay, so let's unpack this. You're in Fort Worth, Texas. And you want to make an outdoor gigantic mountain with real snow and presumably real ski slopes. How?
Soap.
How? Those are massive. Oh my God. Oh God. Okay. There's also a tower that is called the Icecalator that actually takes you above the mountain in a rotating restaurant, because of course it does. In Dreamscape Metropolis, guests wander a recreation of what else? New York City, with taxi-themed bumper cars and a roller coaster themed to the New York Stock Exchange.
Dreamscape Metropolis invites you to play in one of the most diverse cities in the world, New York City. Try your hand at driving a big city bumper cab. Be as bullish as you want as you ride the wild ups and downs of the New York Stock Exchange. Take the oldest remaining elevator in the Empire State Building, but beware, the lift is still under repair.
And industry professionals came up with this. And my favorite. And this one, by the way, has a British narrator. And he has my favorite quote where he goes, New York City.
Which is how New York people talk about.
Yeah. But this one has in the concept art for this roller coaster, it's just a bunch of squiggles. And you lower down, and there's the building of the New York Stock Exchange on the bottom. This is the laziest shit.
But it's like, to me, you're sitting around a board meeting. You're like, well, what drops and goes up and down in New York City? And someone goes, the stock exchange. And you go, bye, damn it, you're clever. And you write it down and then you steal another million.
Yeah. And then you're going to be like, what else can we do? They look at theme parks and going, what about we rip off this? Because there's also a ride where you go onto the oldest operating elevator in the Empire State Building. But warning, the lift is still under repair. Gee, I wonder what this is taking off. And like how, okay, correct me if I'm wrong, but is the Empire State Building like a registered trademark building? Like, do you have to get rights to use it and stuff like that? Like, if you made,
right?
I don't know, but if you made Empire State Building, and your ride has you going into an elevator that is faulty and drops riders, presumably to their death, I wonder if somebody would step in, a lawyer, and go, can we not have that be the Empire State Building?
Actually, you're right. The Empire State Building is a licensed building.
That's what I thought.
Requires licensing. You're right.
That's what I thought.
Very quickly deny the licensing right to this stupid-ass ride.
You're right. Anna's Storybook Land. Who the fuck is Anna? I don't know. It's 2015, so they're probably going, who's one of the princesses in Frozen? That's popular. It's their kitty land, and there's a bunch of magical plants and flowers, basically an oversized whimsical garden. They say that stories from our favorite books come to life, but don't emphasize which. But my favorite thing, and this is the thing that hucksters love, there is clearly a Willy Wonka themed attraction, but it's never brought up. What What is it with Willy Wonka and hucksters?
It's a famous name.
It is a famous thing that people love. It revolves around food. And we'll get back to Willy Wonka. But I just found that so funny. I did these show notes about 3 days ago. And I couldn't imagine what would happen next. I was like, no, no, no. Because I was like, are you kidding me? It's in this pitch as well. Amazing. Next is the Wild West Experience, a nondescript attraction where you become a cowboy and embark on a journey of horseback rides, foods, and campfires.
From the legendary stories of America's West, history comes to life as you enter Dreamscape's Wild West Experience. The sights, sounds, and adventure encompass every scene you visit as you encounter the Wild West as never before. Filled with excitement, classic food, campfires, and music, this thrilling journey will put you in the boots of the great cowboys who once rode across this very land.
It's so bad.
This is just like, a LARPing experience? And of course there's teepees there because, of course, we have to be completely racist in
it's
our
It's Alabama! Yeah, what are you going to do? I love the cowboys.
This is Texas. This is Texas.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah, who gives a shit? Yeah, it's basically totally, Alabama.
Totally different, yeah. But yeah, this is basically like, what if we did City Slickers, but real? There's also Dreamscape Tinseltown themed to Hollywood. One ride is actually called Earthquake the Coaster, which I nearly died in the Northridge earthquake. So this is really? So much fun. Yes, I did. Yeah.
Wait, you can't. Don't move on from that. What do you mean? What happened?
So it's the 1994 Northridge earthquake. And there was a bookshelf that was gonna come down on myself or my sister, and my parents like went into our rooms, like grabbed us like seconds before it fell on us. And my mom's probably gonna comment. It's like, you got that wrong. And it's like, I don't know, that's the way I remember it. And then we went up to my mom's bedroom and just like rode all the aftershocks. We went downstairs and saw like all the china was like smashed on the floor, and the pool was completely upended and all the water was out, and like I think our chimney collapsed on an RV next door. And it was brutal. It was absolutely brutal. So that was fun to live through. 100% wonderful, traumatizing event that we should immortalize in a coaster attraction. I think I was like 6 years old or something like that. So it is what it is. A ride also was to be themed to Mulholland Drive, which Disney's California Adventure had and failed at it. Do you remember Mulholland Madness?
Yes,
which
I do.
Now Goofy's Sky School.
Right. It's another shot to have David Lynch in the parks. There we go.
Yes,
Eraserhead, the ride isn't coming, but Mulholland Drive. If they built the Mulholland Drive attraction, I'd say build it.
Yeah, okay. So David Lynch is going to look at the scam and go, that's right, go and have it.
David Lynch supporting a multi-million dollar scam?
Yeah.
I don't know what transcendental meditation is. I've never heard of that.
he was approving it. This is around the time he was recording his lines for the Cleveland show, right?
Hey, he's friends with I think the guy who voices Cleveland. I think that's why
Mike Henry.
Yeah. Not what's his name? The guy who does Gravity Falls.
Alex Hirsch.
Alex Hirsch. Yeah, he's not friends with him. He wouldn't do Gravity Falls, but he is friends with Cleveland from Family Guy.
Yeah, he wouldn't do Bill Cipher. And that is the thing, like Alex Hirsch then made it his mission. He wanted to get somebody related to Twin Peaks on. So he finally got Kyle MacLachlan like to do like a voice at the very end, the final episode of it. And what's like really funny is like he writes this like impassioned letter to Kyle MacLachlan. Like, and sends it in, and it's like, please, please, please do my show. And like Kyle MacLachlan goes, yeah, okay, I'll do it. And then like apparently at the exact same time, he's like already in the Disney family, providing his voice to be an Inside Out over at Pixar. And it's like, wait, so Alex Hirsch had to write an impassioned plea over to this, but all the way at the other side of the end of the company, Kyle MacLachlan's just like, yeah, just like it's collecting a paycheck doing voices for a Disney product. It is really funny how,
right?
I'm sorry, what?
It says Pixar versus Disney Channel. It's like,
yeah, exactly. Well, that's the thing. It's just, how far, it's same company, but just how far those gulfs are apart. I doubt that Pete Docter, when he wanted to cast I think he plays Riley's dad, he made an impassioned plea to Kyle MacLachlan. You know, it's like, oh, this story of Inside Out really was inspired by Twin Peaks. Please play the dad that all the people on the internet will thirst over.
He is so very attractive, man. He is.
Isn't he one of the three Pixar guys that are included with the meme of there's three guys who do a podcast and these are the three guys, and one is Al from Toy Story 2, the other is Riley's dad, and I always forget who the third one is. But
we don't want to get into that. Don't want to get into who we are. That's okay.
Well, no, those are three guys. That's like a three guy podcast. That's not the two guys. Okay. Yeah, that's not the two guys.
That's just Cumtown.
Well, that's most podcasts. So, like, you could say Chapel Trap House or like Podcast the Writer or something like that. So. Okay, so every day
our poor listeners
would end with a fireworks spectacular on this horrifyingly looking mountain over a clearly stock image of fireworks.
Be prepared to expect the unexpected and be amazed. This is Dream Vision Mountain, Dreamscape, Texas. You will believe in
So where did this all go wrong?
You're right. I didn't even notice that. I should say pointed out.
Just under a year later, Brian Robinson would be sued multiple times. And just over 3 years later, Robinson would be found guilty for massive fraud of over $7 million. The investors he defrauded were never repaid, but Robinson was sentenced to prison for 10 years. And that was in 2018. I have no idea if he is eligible for parole, but as far as I can look, he is still sitting nice and pretty in probably a very nice white-collar prison. Logan and Solanskis were crushed, stating that they were developing the project when the money suddenly just ran out because Robinson, of course, ran off with it. The guy thought he was going to get away with this. It's amazing. As I was saying earlier, today, numerous parks are trying to get off the ground, such as America's Heartland in Oklahoma and Storyville Gardens in Nashville. Both are compared to its Dream Vision, although none of them had presentations quite as embarrassing and low quality as this. It's uncertain if either project will actually get built, but if we hear it was just a scam for money, well, the blueprint has been there all along. Now, that's where my show notes end, because I wrote this a few days back, thinking, crack my knuckles, I'm done. And then something happened, something that blew my mind, because as you're hearing this, details are pouring out on this viral sensation about a immersive Willy Wonka experience in Glasgow, Scotland. And I'm sure you know what I'm talking about, Dorman.
Yeah, I saw this. The AI generated one.
Yes. Yeah, so this immersive experience in Scotland promised visitors to be immersed in the world of Willy Wonka, although it was no way connected to Willy Wonka, either the Roald Dahl estate or the Warner Brothers movie franchise, I guess you would call it. It is no way tethered to it, but they promised it would be an incredible event where you would get to live out your dreams of visiting Willy Wonka's chocolate factory. Well, it turns out that this was actually a scheme by this one guy named, I think it's like Billy Cole or something like that. And like this morning, I'm reading about it, you know, the details. And he is a, just like Brian Robinson, this mastermind behind all these fake shell companies and using AI to his advantage. And that's the difference. With Brian Robinson, he couldn't just type in something on OpenAI, ChatGPT, or Midjourney, or any of those devices. He couldn't. He had to have, like, quote unquote, industry professionals come in and make the art for him as cheaply as possible. But he still had to have people actually do it. This guy just sits on his laptop, types in, write me a book about vaccine conspiracy. Write me a book about this, and I will self-publish it and write it on eBay. And I will also have AI write my own author's notes. And I'm also going to have AI make all these images for this fake Willy Wonka experience and completely cheap out. And I'll see if I can run away and run off with the money. Clearly, he flew too close to the sun. But again, for some reason, a lot of hucksters are completely obsessed with Willy Wonka. And they know the power of it. They know the power of Wonka. You know, and, you know, some people use it for good, like Paul King. I'm sorry, Dorman, but I loved Wonka.
I didn't see it. Yeah. I have no opinion on it.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I always have to preface that in case.
Paddington's good.
Yeah, it is. Yes. So, and some people use it for evil, like Tim Burton.
Oh, come on.
I'm sorry. I don't like the Tim Burton version. The first act is good, but once they get to the factory, no.
Yeah, it sucks, but, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I will say, you know, one thing that you're highlighting here, to me, the only interesting thing to talk about of this entire piece of shit proposal is how much worse it would have been had AI been involved.
Oh, 100%. I mean, you wouldn't have Ron Logan. I'm sorry, I still can't get over that. Obviously, the man is dead now. He's dead now, but he went on Attractions Magazine, and when this all happened, when it all blew up in 2018, and he's like, we worked on it. We wanted to do this. And I'm just sitting there going, did you? Did you?
It's like when David Silverman or whatever started posting those stupid ass cats, the NFTs or whatever. It's like you have these old, that was, I think, David Silverman, right?
Yes, that was David Silverman, yeah.
It's, you have these older people and they don't understand anything. Mm-hmm. They kind of lucked out being in a really nice business like Disney, and they get suckered in, and their name is used. They're essentially used for recognition. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I look at this Willy Wonka thing, this little Glasgow experience, and I think obviously this would never have, had this been built, been on that scale. There's no universe in which.
Right. I'm not saying that that would have been. Yeah, I'm just comparing it to what can be accomplished nowadays to
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think that, like, for what it's worth, had this been built, it would have been an incredibly... Had this been built is such a weird question. It's like, what if Bernie Madoff made all of the money back? It's like, I don't know. Because that was never the point. It's a unique experience in terms of unbuilt. Because you have to wonder whether any of it was actually planned. But let's say it did come to fruition.
Is any of this even possible? Was this all like just the biggest blue sky first pass pitches? I mean, looking at so much of this concept art, your mind can't even boggle. What would this look like in real life? Is this even possible? What are they talking about? This sounds like such garbage bullshit that it's impossible to comprehend, which is why you kind of wonder what was going on in these creative meetings. Like, oh, did anybody believe in this? Did they even think that this was going to happen, or Did they recognize that this was basically a quick way to make a buck? Because somebody made money off of this. They had to.
Yeah.
Because you know, they had a budget and they were spending it. But obviously, it's a Ponzi scheme, so it just all trickles down. But it goes, you know, the biggest bulk of it goes to Brian Robinson at the front, who scams out like millions and millions of dollars. But some people got some money out of it. Maybe they just pocketed it, did as little work as possible, and go, well, Jesus, I hope my name doesn't appear in the credits of this, but at least I made a quick, you know, $1,000 off of it.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. I think that it's a matter of, it was a quick buck. If you propose these exaggerated plans to some really idealistic people, you can make a quick dollar. I think, though, this should teach some people who, I know a lot of people in the Disney fan community like to design their own theme parks.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean this, like, this is not pointed to anything in particular. Just, it happens all the time. Because I did it when I was younger. And there's this notion you have in your head that, well, if I just put together this, like, blue sky pitch of what I want to see, maybe it'll attract Disney or something like that.
Yeah.
But what's missing in this entire theme park is storytelling, is like specifics about attractions. It's easy to say, we're going to have a Wild West experience. It's hard to actually plan something realistic and scalable. None of this is realistic and scalable. And it makes sense that one of the few things that might have been interesting was the actual attraction with something planned. Like one of the few fleshed out ideas, the one that you said is maybe the only fleshed out idea, is the drive-in theater that opens up. And it's like, it's not a great idea, but it's an idea. It's it's something.
Right.
You know, you just sit back and you look at an idea like this, and again, ignoring it being a Ponzi scheme, if it had been built, it's not even that interesting. Like if this was built and only this and nothing was added onto it, we could only speculate on what's been shown to us. It's nothing. It's just, it's empty.
It's air. It's air. And and I keep using the word lazy, and that's what it is. It is lazy air. It's just the biggest no shit, no duh ideas that you have. Oh, what about a record that you're sitting on? And, you know, there's little spokes and you go on a tilt-a-whirl and it goes through that. And it's just, it makes no sense. It's odd. It's bizarre. It almost kind of reminds me a little bit, a tiny bit, of another park that actually was built, and it's one I mentioned many times. It is near and dear to my heart, and that is MGM Grand Adventures, which was here in Las Vegas. If you look at the park on its just sole blueprint, it is bizarre. It is truly a bizarre park that was clearly with too many cooks in the kitchen, because it makes almost very little sense. There is movie studio, Universal like elements combined with this like themed backlot street areas and themed areas that don't exactly align with the attractions in it. Like there's a New York Street, and then there's a New Orleans Street, but the New Orleans Street for some reason has a Grand Canyon's Rapids attraction in it, and it's like, wait, how does that make any sense? And then there's like an Asian section, but the Asian section has this Deep Earth Exploration ride, and it has Blacklot River Tour, and it's very bizarre. The reason why that I'm obsessed or anybody's obsessed with it is because it existed, it's so odd, and it had a lot of bizarre ideas. This is almost kind of like that, but whereas MGM Grand Adventures, they at least attempted to be a little ambitious with it. This is just doing the laziest ideas you could ever think of. And that is the difference. That's clearly the sole difference. So while, yes, this is a hodgepodge of creativity, it's not particularly a soulful or an ambitious one. It's incredibly uninteresting. And that's why not only is it laughable, but it's also boring as well. The world is a better off place without any of this.
They should have built it, though.
They should have? Why?
They should have built it. Because for what it's worth, I would rather have been built and failed than these people's money have gotten stolen.
Well, he is ordered to repay it. Now, will he ever repay it? No.
Yeah, I mean, he was ordered to do a lot of things. Tell it to the Christmas musical or whatever the... he put his money in. Yeah, no, it's a complete mess. And it's, you know, unfortunately, the boldest thing that he did that was done with this plan was to make it so fucking boring.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to lie, at least make it look cool. Mm-hmm. It's unrealistic in the worst ways.
Yeah.
It's like when you have a kid and the kid is like, what if on Buzz Lightyear you could get out and fly around on a jetpack? It's like, I don't know, kid. It sounds really boring, though. Like the big musical mountain just looks ugly, and it's
horrible.
Cool if you think about it for 30 seconds, because you're pitching this interactive music playing mountain, and it's like, I don't know, what do you want me to do with that? Like,
but again, it just shows you how completely creatively bankrupt this is, because it's like, what if we had a bunch of massive instruments playing? Okay, what if we did that again, but it's on a bridge? Okay, what if we did that again, but it's an entire, like, you know, 200, 300 foot mountain with a roller coaster inside? There's no rhyme or reason to what they're doing outside of taking one idea and running over again and again and again with it, seemingly stealing other ideas in the industry. This is nothing but a first draft scheme to have people throw a bunch of money at this schlub and him to run away until the feds catch him. He gets tossed in prison and never repays it. You know, and that's the sad thing. So that's your solution? Just fuck him?
Fuck him. Well, no, I don't want to do that, yeah. But you know.
Okay.
He's not very attractive.
Oh.
He's not.
Mm-hmm. Well,
anyways, yeah, no, so I mean, it's just a fucking, it's a shit idea, and he's a shit guy, and it's Alabama. I don't give a shit about Alabama.
Yeah, in Texas.
I give more of a shit, but still not a very big shit.
Not a very big shit. Yeah, exactly. It's like, how much of a shit can you give about Texas? Not much, you know.
More than Alabama. Alabama's a lost cause.
Mm-hmm. Well, he certainly fleeced a bunch of people there. So if that makes you happy, I mean, I do feel a little bad for anybody he fleeced. Like, clearly he must have ran off with millions and millions of dollars, which makes me laugh. Because I always think about it. It's like, okay, wait. So your plan is you're going to promise to make a theme park, raise $7 million, and you're going to run off, but not enough where you still get catched by the feds. Like, isn't that the part where you're supposed to make off like Max Bialystock and go to Rio and never go to the United States again? Because
you had another game, another gambit.
Yeah, it's like, what were you really thinking about here? But then again, that's the same thing about Billy Cool. Like, what were you really thinking about here? Obviously, the little Willy Wonka experience you made with like AI art and it looked like shit, like that wasn't going to come out well. It boggles my mind of these hucksters who think they can get away with this, but don't have the mind to follow through. I guess when you have no creativity in your body, like a smart plan to abscond with money and still live another day without going behind bars, that just kind of escapes you.
Rip.
It's just speechless here.
You hit it on the head. I don't know. It's like, I think you've eloquently disassembled the problem with this from a business point, from an audience point, from a investment point, and from like a moral point. I think that the only thing that I can say, of course, is that this would have been worse with AI. And 100%. That if you think you can put together a blue sky Disney theme park, try harder than this. That's all you have to do.
That's all you have to do. Well, I mean, we shouldn't really put down people who do this, because I think some of them are interesting thought experiments. I do like ideal build out and stuff like that, because that's a neat idea. Like, how do you build out a park to the fullest of its potential? you know? And the thing is that, unfortunately, the only parks that seem to be doing that are Tokyo DisneySea. And by building an expansion that I will be ever so lucky if I even get to step one foot in it this September. What did you see the videos of Fantasy Springs?
I did. It looked really nice. I mean, mm-hmm. I think that like it's... Tokyo DisneySea is very weird because you're going to have some people say that like IP shouldn't belong there, but that's just a flat out lie. So
it's always been there.
Yeah. Ariel's has been there since opening, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it looks really nice. I mean, are you saying that that's better than this theme park? Because that seems like it goes without saying.
Well, I'm not even comparing it. I'm just saying it's just funny that like the only theme park that is like truly building out every single inch of its possibility is Tokyo's, because the OLC will throw money at it. And it is very strange. It's like the only it butts up right against Toontown.
Yes, it's like, yeah, they have gone as far as they possibly can, mm-hmm, into the back of that park.
Yeah. And the Frozen ride, do you know the details of the Frozen ride?
I do not.
Okay. Do you mind the spoilers?
I'm not getting to Japan within the next 10 years.
I mean, God, like, again, I will be so lucky to ride this ride this September. We'll see if that happens. But this is the actual plot of the Frozen ride. So unlike, it's not a clone of Frozen Ever After. It starts out after the movie, just like Frozen Ever After. But at the point where you go to the trolls sprinkle magic on you and transport you back in time to relive the story of Frozen. So it is a combination of Frozen Ever After and a book report attraction of Frozen itself.
I mean, yeah, that's probably what most people wanted, honestly. Like, not that I think that's great, but...
But it's going to have incredible animatronics, I'm sure, and effects, oh, yeah, that will blow your fucking mind.
Yeah.
So I'm sure it's going to be insane. But yeah, so getting back to all of it, that is our episode on the scammiest of scams in the theme park industry, which was Dream Vision, which... I don't think anybody in the fandom, any theme park enthusiast actually thought would happen. The second these videos came out, everybody was roaring, laughing at it and making fun of it. But the fact is that he still stole $7 million from investors. So he was able to get away with something. Okay. And that's of note. Scams are happening all around. We live in a horrible, horrible world. So I would recommend keep your money close and be smart, please, because you never know when somebody's trying to get after you. But anyways,
and if you'd like to get on the ground floor of the unbuilt theme park,
that's what we're gonna start doing.
Come right to me.
That's what we're gonna start doing once we wrap this whole shindig up. We're gonna be funding for the unbuilt theme park where we're actually gonna build all this stuff. You'll be able to ride Fire Mountain, and all of this will definitely exist. I'm working with my crayons to draw all this
on
concept
a place
art,
mat, like on a napkin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, on a napkin, and we'll present that in. I'll rent out like a ballroom at Mandalay Bay, and we'll come together and we'll present this. You can throw $1 million, and I'll give you the donation link, and that will definitely make this happen. I definitely will not be using this to travel to every theme park around the globe, like I've always wanted to.
Fulfill his dream, everyone. Donate to our theme park.
It's true. It's true.
Maybe at the end of the day, maybe in prison he got to live his dreams. The man who built this theme park.
And yeah. I'm sure it's his dreams to be getting tattoos or browsing the prison library or, you know, pumping weights in the yard or whatever else. There's a prison stereotype. So I'm not going for that prison stereotype. That is not cool. And whoever is out there thinking about, you know, things having to do with soap, that is
oh my goodness.
Not good. So don't
play exactly. Ryan O'Reilly out.
Right. Yeah. So I'm not going for that one. Okay. Anything but that, but I'm sure he's having a great time. It's probably a white collar prison. He's probably playing.
Oh my goodness.
Tennis.
Someone get the cane for Ryan. For
yeah. Yeah. I mean, let's be honest. He's probably having a good time, you know, wearing like, don't you like it, you know, have a nice prison where it's like a literally like going on a retreat or something like that.
What the fuck happened?
I don't know.
What are we talking about?
We're talking about prison because the guy's in prison.
Do you think it could last in prison? Honest question.
Do you think I could last in prison?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, okay.
That's why I'm not out there doing crime.
That's why you're not doing crime? Because you couldn't handle prison? Not well, because they're that, like morally bad, but because you wouldn't like
isn't
prison.
That why? Isn't that why people don't do crime?
It's not that I don't murder because it's bad. It's I don't murder because if I get caught, it's gonna fucking suck.
Isn't that it? That's the whole point of society. I don't want to go behind bars. So that's why I don't go and I don't run my car around anywhere it can go. It's, you know, that's what's keeping me sane. Yeah. this episode's off the rails. We need to get it back on the rails and end this whole thing. So anyways, in the meantime, please follow us on social media on Twitter at UnbuiltPod. You can reach me at OpenMothersMail and Ryan Dorman at OpenTheDorman. Feel free to email us at UnbuiltPod@gmail.com and rate us wherever you find this podcast. Please write a review and tell us how we're doing. If you don't like us, thank you for listening to The Perfect Scam. I'm Bob Sullivan. See you guys. Stay out of trouble.
Goodbye.
New York City.